Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my new series, Parrish. My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life. You know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Charges is created by Portal A and Control Media. It's produced by DB Podcasts in association with iHeartRadio.
This time, a former Suns player who you might remember as T-Rex.
More video in just a moment, but this is Rex Chapman's mugshot, and we are learning a lot more about the charges.
Tell me about the PED suspension. You suspended 4 games.
Listen, I'm not here to make an excuse for it, but the next year in training camp, they test me, I get popped. And it's like, damn, he rolls the window down. And as the window's rolling down, he's grabbing, he's reaching for his glove box. There's no way of fixing it. It's like, once you lose it, you can't get it back.
Welcome back to Charges. I'm your host, Rex Chapman. Today on the show, we have DaQuell Jackson, a man who made himself into a great pro. He was a legend in college, as a two-time All-American and a standout in the brutal game of professional football, a captain and someone who I think most guys would want with them in the trenches. And then, almost out of nowhere, a few events happened that we'll talk about, and DaQuell was out of the NFL and looking around wondering just what happened and what is happening to him and his brain. This is Charges. Charges. DaQuell, thanks so much for being here and welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Rex, thanks for having me. I can't say it enough. This is a topic that needs to be discussed, and I'm happy you've created that platform to do so.
Well, you know, I've wanted to talk to a football player for some time now. Obviously, I played college basketball. Many of my friends were played on the football team. You know, we lifted in the same facility back then. They would, you know, come up and poke me, my little chicken chest and
we
all that.
We definitely had at Maryland, we definitely was really close with the basketball team as well. And we would play in the summer and things like that. But, you know, it was fun. Those days were fun.
Yeah. To that point, though, guys in college, you know, not basketball players, but college football players, if you play 4 or 5 years of college football, you're getting the same kind of brain trauma over and over and over, right?
No doubt.
I mean, at some point, isn't that something that has to be addressed with the NCAA? And because, I mean, you guys, it's one thing to get out of college and not have, you know, insurance and retirement and stuff when you played basketball or ran track, or it's just a different sport.
Right.
You know, your sport is very, very different. And it's just hard for me to, you know,
not everybody gets to go on and play like yourself. So that, I'm just saying, I think there's some stuff that's got to be done at some point.
Yeah, no, I agree, because I remember when, I don't specifically remember the year, but Corey Stringer is a name that stands out to me. He played for the Minnesota Vikings. He was a guy who died from heat exhaustion in the NFL, and immediately the NFL adopted this rule where they would overhire people just to have water buckets and ice towels to make sure no one overheated, and also to make sure, you know, guys were getting the properly hydrated, getting fluids, and it was just a huge shift. And now you talk about the collegiate game with the young, you know, college athletes playing football. Well, in the NFL, they have this thing called, what is it? They take care of their players at a different rate than at college, man. When I was in college, there was no rules. There was no rules to say you can't hit this many times. We can play as long as we want. And, you know, a lot of these guys are being let go, and they're having issues 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years later that never manifested at such a young age. You know, I've had buddies who played the game and, you know, whether they were 22 or 25, a lot of these issues don't manifest until you're a lot older. And at that point, if you hadn't played in the NFL and you hadn't made an exorbitant amount of money, you can take care of yourself from a health standpoint. But there's a lot of guys from the collegiate game that are struggling right now. And yeah, I think the NFL has to get with the NCAA to bridge that gap between, you know, what's happening in the NFL and what's happening at the collegiate level, for sure.
I'm with you. Let's start here. Let's go back with the love of the game. You know, tell me this. Where'd you grow up and how did football enter your life?
Yeah. So I'm from a small city in Florida called Largo. And I tell you what, it's so small. My mother used to say, you better tell me who you're crushing on, because it could be your cousin. That's how that's how small the community was, you know. And a couple times she was right.
I'm from Kentucky. I get it.
Right. So my love for football started at a very young age, Rex. Like, I was that kid. I grew up in Florida, so Tampa Bay, the Bucs, were my favorite team. And I remember back in the day, they had these like plastic uniforms with plastic helmet and shoulder pads. And I remember sleeping in it to the point I wanted to go to school in this football uniform. So my love for the game started when I was probably like 5 years old. And I started playing organized football when I was 7. And I never missed a year. And so my uncle Charles, he was a huge influence in my life. He was a military guy. So the way I would get disciplined when I was younger was if I didn't take out the trash or do dishes or, you know, messed up in school for whatever reason, he would take me out, and we called his run the Kumba. He would find the biggest field he possibly could find, and we would run around this field. In every corner, we would either do sit-ups or push-ups or jumping jacks. He would work my ass out. You hear me?
It's coaching. You were getting coached from a really young age, because we all punished by doing more, right?
Right, right.
In sports.
Right. So when I started playing organized football, it became easy. You know, and I love the game so much. And I was a part of that old culture that we call it the, what do you call it? I forget. This is a drill where two guys, you lay on your back and you just, collide.
Something like Oklahoma?
Oklahoma
like
drill.
What is
Oklahoma,
it? Is that
the Oklahoma,
it?
Yeah. The Oklahoma drill. Okay. So I grew up in that culture, man. And I loved it at the time. You know, I absolutely loved it. And
see, I hated it. I thought I was a football player and everything. I realized I liked hitting. I didn't like getting hit.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I got a funny story. So for me, I thought I loved the game, but I was right there in line with you. I didn't want, when I got hit for the first time, I boo-hooed, cried, I threw my helmet, shoulder pads, I'm done with this. But that uncle who I told you about that would take me out running and push-ups and sit-ups, he was my coach. So I could not quit. So my first 3 years, there was a guy named Cornelius Thomas. We're still friends to this day. He was the biggest, baddest young dude that played on our team. And every day we would hit, my uncle would make me go against Cornelius Thomas, and I would boo-hoo cry and boo-hoo cry. And one day, I tell you what, Rex, one day I got fed up. I was like, I'm not taking this anymore. And I won that battle, and we fought right after that. But at that moment, a light bulb went off. If I can be the aggressor, the collision won't hurt as much. And that's right. It just, a light switch went off and I was hooked from the very beginning. But
what age was that?
This was probably 9 or 10.
That's a blessing. That is a blessing. If that's what you're going to do with your life, that is a blessing to get that mindset at that age.
Yeah, it was a great teacher because I realized I was so competitive and it taught me every day how to bounce back from failure. It was every day. It was the result of a coach telling you you did well, you didn't do well. And for a young person, I think it's a great tool, especially nowadays, to be able to manage failure because that's the real world, you know. And my uncle was fantastic at those teaching moments.
Man, that's terrific.
Here on Time Warner Sports Report, my name is Eric Keaton, and we're still at Raymond James Stadium despite all of the rowdy crowd behind us. Time now to talk about our Defensive Player of the Year.
Well, Eric, as you know, there were a lot of great defensive players in high school football this year in Pinellas County. But our Defensive Player of the Year, he's only a junior. He's got a big-time future, and that's Seminole linebacker DaQuell Jackson.
It's obvious Jackson possesses those skills, and his hunger to play the game is easily noticed.
He's the kind of player that doesn't want to come off the field anyway, so he conditions himself to play both ways, but we will never know how much better he would be if he's fresh every down on defense.
The Warhawk defense is the reason Seminole went deep into the postseason. Statistically, Jackson led Seminole in tackles and tackles for a loss.
What kind of a player were you in high school? I saw in my research you were a 3-star recruit.
Yes.
And not a lot of guys, you know, with the NFL career you had are 3-star guys, which I've always felt was 3-star for us. I mean, come on. They're kids. Some are going to grow. Some are not going to grow, you know.
Right. I blame Tom Lemming. It was a publishing that just would, you know, rank all
you
these
know
guys.
His name.
Right. I'll never forget his name. Oh, he pissed me off. He pissed me off, and I did it all.
Play on offense?
Oh, yeah. I was, from the time I stepped on the field, I always played quarterback and linebacker. And in high school, my freshman year, I played receiver and free safety. I'm not fast enough, but I could catch. So that marriage didn't work out all that well. So my sophomore year, I transferred high schools, and now I'm playing quarterback. And I'm playing linebacker. I never came off the field. And at one point, I was the punter. You know, I went to punting camps and, I did it all, man.
That's
I loved
great.
The game, man. I loved every bit of it, every aspect of the game. The quarterback side helped me become a better linebacker and vice versa. Now, we ran the wing tee. I didn't throw the ball a ton, but, you know, I was more in a position of leadership at that point to motivate the guys around me to, you know, because I would, you know, talk a little trash to them and give them confidence that we can beat this team.
Yeah.
Because, Rex, I went to I was at a predominantly white school, which is fine, but it was only like a handful of black guys there, and we were badasses, man, on the football field. Like, those guys, man, I still keep in touch with a ton of them, but I did it all on the football field.
How'd you end up at Maryland, and what made you decide to be a Terrapin?
Yeah. So the current coach right now at the University of Maryland is a guy by the name of Mike Loxley. At the time when I was in high school, I was a 3-star recruit. No one really recruited me. I would go to 2 camps a year. That was UCF and USF, University of Central Florida and University of South Florida. And there, a guy named Gene Chizik, who went on to be the head coach at Auburn, he was the first guy to give me a scholarship, I think my junior year of high school. And then it kind of just snowballed. And Maryland was the next team in line, particularly Mike Loxley. He reached out. I was living with my grandparents at the time. He developed the friendship with them. He made me feel like this was my uncle. Now, I could have gone to LSU at the time where Nick Saban was there. NC State, Chuck Amato was there. You know, I had a handful of offers, decent D1 offers. But Maryland, for whatever reason, I had that connection with Mike Loxley.
You had never been to Maryland, though.
I had never been on a plane out of high school. And just the back and forth, he was honest with me. He told me the truth. I wanted to play right away. And I just wanted to feel like a sense of home. And then when I was able to take my visit, I was around like-minded guys who love football, but they also was invested in the school side of it. You know, it was more so about talking about both. And I can envision myself actually living. In my mind, as a high schooler, I wanted to be in a place where I can potentially live when I'm done playing. And it happened. I'm still in the DMV area. It was the first year after Ralph Friesen had gotten to Maryland. They won 10 games, got blown out by University of Florida. And when I got here, I was culture shocked, man. You know, me coming from a small city and coming to this big metropolitan area, it was rough my first year, man. I remember calling
the national news is the local news.
Right, I mean, right.
Right?
It was like I was out of place. I'm like, this is a different world to me. And luckily, I have some friendships I created my freshman year. We're still close to this day. They helped me kind of. It was a bunch of guys from the South, the guys from North Carolina, a guy from Texas, another guy from Florida. We knew what we were kind of dealing with, and we helped each other. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was funny how things come full circle.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Welcome back. What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com.
Ooh, is it full of chilling intrigue?
No, it's full of hot savings. CheapCaribbean.com's semi-annual sale is helping you save $200 off your next booking for 4 nights or more. Score site-wide deals to your favorite beaches in Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Let's start at CheapCaribbean.com.
What happened and when that led you to your transformation as just this unstoppable defensive force?
You know what? So there was one school that I wanted to offer, that I wanted an offer for, that I wanted them to offer me, and no one else would have had another shot at, was Florida State.
I was getting ready to say Florida State.
Dude, growing up in my town, Florida State was like, you were king. And so we weren't really UF fans, the Gator fans, and they had offered me. I was like, no, I can't do it. I'm a Florida State fan.
Just on your allegiance.
Yeah, I was like, I can't do it. Just off of allegiance alone, I cannot do it. And Florida State never offered me, man. They never offered me. So to answer your question, my sophomore year, I'm a starter. And E.J. Henderson, the guy who won the Dick Butkus Award at linebacker, he had graduated. So now I'm a shoe-in starter. The second game of the season, my sophomore year, we're playing at Doak Campbell Stadium. We're playing the team that overlooked me. And I know all the other linebackers they had recruited that are playing. They were all good. Don't get me wrong. But I thought I was better than at least one of them, you know. And the first play of the game, Chris Ricks is the quarterback. And I'm like super geeked for this game. And first play of the game, Rex throws an out route to the tight end. I intercept it. I return it for 58 yards. I score a touchdown. And at that moment, Rex, after that game, I went on to have like 10-plus tackles. I blocked a kick. And I remember I've never felt that there's moments in your life where you feel like, damn, I think I'm better than what I actually – than I am. You know, I think I'm better. And I'm this very humble, obedient kid at the time, you know. And the confidence just oozed out of me. I knew at that moment I could play at the next level. I just did it against some of the best of the best.
You knew then you could play on Sundays.
There was no doubt. There was no doubt in my mind. And my grades started to take a hit after that because the focus was shifted. And that's the moment. that's the moment that it still gives me chills thinking about it.
Oh, that's a beautiful story. It really is. The school that overlooked you too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to the draft. What did it feel like when you got the call?
Whew, man. Oh my gosh. It's hard to put it into words. I was there with my family, the people that I love. I didn't have this big, massive, watch party, anything. It was too much pressure for me. I wanted people that if things didn't work out the way I thought they would, if they didn't work out the way I thought they would, I wouldn't feel embarrassed in front of these people. So it was all my close family and friends. And I remember getting a phone call. I thought I was going to go. So I petitioned the NFL to see where I would get drafted. They told me anywhere between late first and early second round. Talked to some teams. I thought I was going to either Jacksonville or Dallas, and it didn't happen. And Rex, I tell you, I had to remove myself from the room where all my family was watching the draft. I was like, I have to get away. I broke down. Mm-hmm. I absolutely broke down crying. I was like, man, this is too much. So I like put my phones up and, entitled little kid at this point. It's like, this is just the first round, like relax. But in my mind, it's everything. And so I go to the restroom and I'm actually using the restroom and I have my phones near me and the phone that I have dedicated for NFL execs or what have you goes off. So if you can imagine, without me being too detailed, I'm grabbing, right. both hands are working and I'm talking to a GM and I've never told this story because it's, I don't want to put these guys out, but I'm like, pants are halfway down and I just forget it. Yes, I would love to be a Cleveland Brown. Thank you, Lord. It happened. It's like, I don't know what pick it is. All I know is they called me and was like, would you love to be a Cleveland Brown? And Phil Savage, kudos to Phil Savage. That's my guy for taking a chance on an undersized linebacker out of a school that didn't win a ton of games. And it was a classic story.
Caught you literally with your pants down.
Yeah.
That's great.
Pretty much.
That's great. Well, you're going into the Browns Legends this year.
Yeah.
So your time there was pretty special. When did you feel like, okay, I'm a pro. I know what I'm doing out here. I feel good and confident, and this is what I do.
So I got two parts to that answer. The first answer, when I realized I was a pro, was when I was injured. I had tore my pecs back-to-back years, and I remember the guy who drafted me, Phil Savage, approaching me in the hallway once and telling me, hey, if we're here next year, you'll have a new deal. And at that time, I was spending money that I thought I was going to get. And I was just living on the edge, man, and not really buckling down and not understanding a promise is a promise. There's nothing on paper here.
Right.
That was the first moment I realized, wait, this is a business. And a new, he gets fired. A new guy comes in, Eric Mangini.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't care what the hell they promised you. They're looking at me and everyone else in that locker room as being part of the problem, not part of the solution. Right. So, that was the first instance I realized like, oh, damn, this is different. This is different. But the moment I realized on the field that I had arrived was a year after those two injuries and going through that mental just anguish of not being where you want it. They signed me to a 1-year deal. And I remember that whole year I was on a tear. I was on a scorched earth, just tour of just killing people. And it was at practice. It was in the games. Rex, I probably didn't have any friends that year. Everybody hated me. My teammates hated me because I practiced hard. It was like, I have one shot. And this is a point where I did a deep dive. I was at IMG Academy and a guy named Trevor Muau. And I was going through a divorce at the time. I felt, I didn't have a prenup. I'm thinking the world is crumbling at my fingertips. And this guy who was a sports psychiatrist, he would always hang around the guys working out. And he wasn't pushy at all. We built a rapport. And I showed up in his office one day. And he asked me what I wanted. He was like, what do you want? I'm like, what do you mean? What do you? He was like, what the F do you want? So we made this like diagram of everything I needed to do to get to the pinnacle of my goals. And my goals was a 5-year contract worth X amount for X amount of dollars. And when I tell you, it was the best thing that I could have done for myself mentally, because before that, I had only known how to train my body, and this was the first experience of my mind being trained, and we developed some techniques, and I felt unstoppable when that happened. You know, then you segue, that spills over to the field, and I was on this scorched, you know, tour of just chopping killing everyone, man, you know, on the field, you know, and I don't know if that was a specific moment. That year alone was just unbelievable. Just unbelievable how focused I was.
That's awesome. American football can be unforgiving on and off the field. The brutal nature of football in regards to contracts, injuries, lifestyles, and more is arguably the most difficult of any professional athlete. A star today can be cut tomorrow, especially if their contract is not guaranteed. Can you imagine what that does to a person? And yet the train rolls on. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
Another NFL player is in some trouble with the law. Colts linebacker DaQuell Jackson was arrested on Tuesday and charged with assault. Now, the incident happened in Washington, D.C., where Jackson allegedly punched a pizza delivery driver in the face and head. The driver reportedly told police he was going to use a parking space for a minute when Jackson told him to get out of his parking spot and then punched him.
On Monday, the Colts said they were disappointed in linebacker DaQuell Jackson after he was found guilty in a 2015 assault case. Jackson's sentencing is scheduled for April 6th. He could face up to 180 days in jail for simple assault, but that sentence could be reduced.
You know, obviously this is charges. We talk about the good, talk about the bad.
Sure, sure.
You know, tell me about what happened in D.C. in 2015 with the parking space at the back of your place.
Yeah, so this was on the hills. I just made my first Pro Bowl. You know, I was with Indy, you know, had a great year. I intercepted Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game. Now they're talking about Deflategate. And, you know, my name is on top of everyone's lips. Like, I didn't have a care in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that incident you're talking about, where the Pro Bowl was in Arizona. My wife and my family, we fly back. We all go our separate ways. My wife and I, we're in D.C. And she was taking a spin class. You know, this was 2015. So I pick her up from spin class. And where our apartment is in D.C., the one reason I love D.C. is I love the, I hope I say this word right, anonymity, right? It's like you're exposed to the elements, right? It's like you're just a free bird. And if you sit at a bar or someplace and people don't assume you're an athlete, I love that part of it, right? But our condo, our parking space was on an alleyway. So if you've ever been to D.C., that U Street corridor area is busy, you know,
packed.
It's packed to the brim from Howard students and people just join the, you know, elements. And we deal with a lot of people parking our parking spaces. Now, we're used to it. So this particular day, I picked my wife up from spin class, and like normal, you know, we're getting ready to park. There's a car in our parking space. So you hit the horn, you know, nothing. Usually when you hit the horn, you flash the lights. They realize, oh, they shouldn't be there. They leave because it's a sign that says no trespassing. And so the guy isn't moving. Now, my wife is in the passenger seat. So this is the mistake I made. I got out of the car. I get out of the car. His window's up. I'm knocking on the window. Hey, you know, this is my parking space. You got to move. He looks and just kind of ignore me. And now I'm getting pissed. Now I'm knocking a little harder. Now I'm talking a little louder. Hey, get the F out of my parking space. Nothing is happening. He's still looking at me. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And all of a sudden, out of the blue, Rex, I can see it. I can put myself in that moment. It gives me chills just thinking about it. He rolls the window down. And as the window's rolling down, he's reaching for his glove box. And where I'm from, how I grew up, and you hear things in D.C., that means danger to me. And so when he did that, he reached. I grabbed him. I admitted to the cop. I grabbed him around his neck. I grabbed his arm. Like, what are you doing? I restrained him. And immediately, which is terrible, my wife is still in the car. I run to U Street where there's a ton of foot traffic cops. I grab a cop. I tell him, hey, I got this crazy guy in my parking space. He won't leave. Yeah, I thought he was reaching for a weapon or something. I grabbed him. That was it. We come back. The guy's trying to pull out of the parking space. He stops him. He asked the guy his version of the story. And this guy basically said, I did everything to him other than, I mean, it was ridiculous. It was so ridiculous to the point where I was like kind of chuckling. I'm like, you cannot. I was like, look at me and look at him. If my intentions were to hurt this person, I would like to think he would be on the ground still.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, sir, put your hands behind your back. I'm getting cuffed. You know, a lot of the cops didn't know. You know, now it's a scene. Now we're in an alleyway. Mm-hmm. This is a nice neighborhood. You know, and D.C. is in a, you know, everyone lives among each other. And I just remember just having that feeling of just like, out of all my years, I've avoided and try to be a few steps ahead of any
Never
incident.
Been in trouble in your life,
Never
right?
been in trouble in my life.
Yeah.
Never. I'm 30 plus years old. I'm going home. It's not a weekend. This is like a 8 o'clock on like a Tuesday. I'm not drunk. I hadn't had anything to drink. I'm as clear headed as I can be. And I get arrested trying to park in my parking space. And the stories you heard after that was just, you know, DeQuell beats up a pizza man because, you know, it was so just not the truth. And when I was basically in the situation where I thought I was going to be killed, potentially, I was protecting myself. I take it to trial. I lose the trial. The guy was.
Yeah. So based on what happened, you thought you could beat it. That's why you went to trial, right?
Yeah. So the guy tried to sue me for over $1 million. And he refused medical care. There was no medical care. So all the things that he said that I apparently did, he said, I threw him over the hood. I kicked him. I did all these different things. We lose basically because in DC, if you admit an unwanted touch is considered a simple assault, a misdemeanor. So there was no fine, there was no probation or anything like that. The NFL fined me, I think like $10,000 or $15,000. And the guy ended up getting six figures. Thank goodness I had really great insurance. But the guy collected six figures off of, and here's the thing. When I was in Indy playing, my wife was in DC working. So she dealt with a lot of this all the time. And I would tell her, do not get out of the car, call the police. And I didn't listen to my own freaking, you know, but it was just an unfortunate event, man. And she was being stalked at her job. We were having.
I can feel the regret in your voice and
yeah,
in the
man,
story.
Just,
I'm so sorry.
I own it, man. And it's just like, you realize on the back nine of my career, when I'm not doing anything to throw my, you know, I'm not doing that.
DeQuell Jackson may lead the NFL in tackles, but he won't be seeing any playing time in the next 4 weeks.
The Colts linebacker is suspended from the league for violating its policy on performance-enhancing substances.
Now you go through the arrest. It's the following season, 2015-16, I believe. Tell me about the PED suspension. You suspended four games. How'd that come about? What was happening?
Man, I invested into my recovery, plain and simple. I'm a guy that I'm a huge component of growth hormones, HGH. I think every guy that has an injury that requires surgery should be prescribed a healthy dose of growth hormone. Our body produces it. At the right dosage, it's healthy. It helps repair those broken down ligaments. And it's nothing but beneficial if taken right. And I was the guy, if you ask anyone who ever played with me, Rex, hell, DeQuell was like a gym rat. He would try anything that I thought that could help me. And if the line was right here in front of me, I was towing the line, you know, when it comes to my recovery, because you realize the position there was no avoiding contact. There was no avoiding the collision. So I had to do what was best for me to provide for my family. And when you love something so much, you're willing to do anything to succeed at it. And there was another embarrassing moment in my career where it was like, oh my gosh, like how did I let this happen again? And it was embarrassing for my family, my wife. It was like, and you're going to always have people to say, oh, he was only good because he took whatever. Right. And we all know there's no magic pill. There's no magic shot. There's no magic anything that can make you average to a Kobe Bryant or a Tom Brady or someone like that. There's no such thing. You still have to put in the work. I was embarrassed, yes, because I got caught. But I knew in that undercurrent of the NFL, there's a lot of guys like myself who played the game with a level of recklessness that you have to play. Mm-hmm. Also, with the gentleman's respect, but you realize you have to be able to recover. And that was a component that a lot of young guys don't understand. And I was heavily invested into that.
I'm with you. If I could get it shot up when I played, I got it shot up. If it was Novocaine, if it was going to not do no permanent damage, I was doing it. So, and I think what a lot of people don't understand is that, you know, the job is so cutthroat. If you're not in, you know, if you miss 2 days, for most players, somebody's going to take your job.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're probably doing whatever they can do right behind you. So it's tough.
A lot of people don't understand that little nugget of information you just let out, because the pressure of knowing if you don't perform, they're going to replace you. If you're injured, which everyone who plays a professional sport, you're not 100% healthy. You're dealing with something. You know, that's a lot of pressure on young people. You know, when you're young and so much is expected of you, you know, and that's why I think a lot of guys, you know, we train our bodies, but we don't invest heavily into the above the shoulders, man, and the head and the mental side of it, because that's a lot of the game is the mental side.
So when it happens, you realize that's it. My career's over. When did you first start noticing maybe something is different with my brain?
Man, you know, that's one of those topics where you hear so much throughout the NFL, you know, every year during training camp, they'll have someone come in and talk about CTE and the head trauma. And that's a moment to ask questions, and there's no way of fixing it. It's like once you lose it, you can't get it back. Can we find information about how to repair and keep what we have? Like there has to be more to it. So it's always been on my mind of how can I maintain what I have? And there has to be a more positive rhetoric out here in terms of brain issues when it comes to professional athletes. So for me, it was always on my mind. And even more so when I was finished, when you lose that, what do you say? When you play the game for so long, you're used to being a team. And when you
know
lose
what,
that.
You know what Steve Nash told me one time, and I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No,
but
no, you're
Steve,
fine.
Steve, we were talking, and you know, I had been long retired, and he had recently retired. And, you know, he was going through a little, you know, just that first year or two being out, that sort of. And I said, how you doing? He said, well, you know, I miss being around the team. He said, also, I miss going in every day, and no matter what's going on in your life, those 2 hours, you can run around running into people, taking out some frustration, taking out some aggression. When that's gone, because that's a habit since you're 5 years old.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so when that's gone and you can't do that anymore, that void has got to be deep. And especially for you guys in the sport you play.
Yeah, there's a ton of, I have some friends now that, now I'm on the other side of things that have been suicidal. When they've had, you to that point, they miss that brotherhood and that camaraderie, and it's all taken away from you like that. And now you're thrown.
You don't think about it.
Yeah, you don't think about it. No one, it's like having a baby. You can read all the books, but you have no idea of how to take care of this little baby until this baby arrives. And it's similar in a sense where everything is taken away. Now you don't know how to, you've prepared for it, you thought you prepared for it, but there's no way of preparing for just filling a void of trying to feel a part of something. And for us athletes, a lot of it is self-driven. I want to feel like I'm contributing. And I've had friends who were suicidal. They're doing
grief.
Much better now.
It's grief. Yeah. You're grieving your career. You know, you're in grief.
That's
you
something know? I had to learn. Yeah. Miss it.
We all do, I think. I think we all do. You know, so when did CTE really become something in your life? Like, did guys talk about it in the locker room because all that stuff with the lawsuit and the settlement and the Will Smith movie? When was that?
While I was playing, guys, it was taboo. Guys didn't really talk about it. You know, it's like you didn't want to just feed that negative rhetoric, you know, like we really didn't talk about it much. But I talked about it a ton with my agent. I talked about it a ton with former guys who were kind of cluing me in on, hey, this is how we need to take care of ourselves. You know, I've actually, you know, I live here in D.C. and I've met a lot of different people. And I'm actually, later next month, I'm going to a place to specifically address what's could possibly be going on in my head. Now, I don't feel any lingering effects, but I want to be proactive on trying to figure out, and this is separate from the NFL, because it's like a love-hate relationship with the NFL. Whatever information they get, I want to go to someone completely independent to give me results that doesn't affect a lawsuit or, you know, it's just, I feel more comfortable doing it.
No agenda, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you haven't really had any, you know, effects of it that you can point to, or even if you can't, do you have, I'm sure you have friends that are going through some things. What are some of the things they're going through?
You know, one of my friends had a liver transplant before the age of 40. And I think it was he played linebacker, and the trauma of, he was in a culture where you self-medicated. Right. And
pills,
you know,
probably
pills,
right?
Alcohol, you know, all these different things to cope, you know, and deal with, you know, injuries and mental, you know, stress. I saw my buddy on his deathbed, and that really, we didn't think he was going to make it. And now he's 3-4 years of sobriety, doing well. He's had 2 kids. I mean, it was tough to see that. It was really tough to see that, man. And know that, hell, we were doing these things together at one point, you know, and I felt myself going down a dark place. And luckily for me, I was still playing and he retired. So the things that we talked about just kind of just manifested and just, you know, went into overdrive. And, you know, it was a dark time, man. It really was a dark time. And we went down it was like fun when it was happening. Yeah, but
I'm with you.
You know, you want to live. Now we have kids. You want to live for your kids and you want to be here. You want to enjoy life. And that enjoyment of life is not the fun that I want to go back to. You know,
I'm with you. That's growth. That's growth, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
When the lights are the brightest and being broadcast around the world on game day, you have to succeed or the team will find someone that will fill your spot. Sadly, it's the recovery and sometimes steps to the extreme that have to be taken to ensure you still have your talent and even slot on the roster tomorrow. Competition amongst brothers in the league, but even against ourselves eternally and internally, is a battle that happens behind the scenes. Some handle it better than others, but especially in the warlike conditions of the National Football League, the effects can be debilitating. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
I know this is a tough question and not something that can be summed up very quickly probably, but What do you think the NFL's responsibility is in all of this with CTE? What do they need to do? Is there anything they can do?
I tell you what, if they really cared about their athletes, they would give us, first of all, the information they provide for the players needs to be on par with what's going on. You know, there's this huge undercurrent of just mixed emotions about the NFL and how they handled the initial information about CTE, and did they hold it? Did they not? You know, I'm friends with an owner and I can't name his name, and you know, I feel like the NFL has known about it. And now of recent, we're hearing about, you know, the Will Smith movie. You know, we're hearing about, you know, we have to hear about the Junior Seau's of the world committing suicide. You know, and if you ever been around.
How does that affect you guys? I mean, we've lost some amazing and talented special people in football, you know, especially, you know, in recent years. How does that affect you and your brethren?
It scares the shit out of us, man. It scares the shit out of us because you never know. This probably weekly that I have a conversation with my wife. If I can't remember anything, I'm like hypersensitive about it. Is this a trend? I'm always thinking about it. So I try to keep myself as mentally stimulated as possible. I'm not a big reader. I've read so much since the pandemic.
Good.
You know,
good.
It's like I have to keep my brain turning. And to answer your question about the NFL and what I think they need to do, there needs to be a better transitional effort for guys when you're done. And it's going to come from a former guy. It has to, because we
have rookie transition. Why don't we have veteran transition?
Right. Yeah.
It only makes sense.
Right. It only makes sense, right? We can be better just to understand what, you're right.
What
there's
we're
no
about
symposium,
to get into.
Right. There's no symposium for that transition. And there's different resources you can connect. It's there. But if you're going through something, you don't realize you're going through something. Everyone else.
It's mandatory as a rookie.
Right.
It's mandatory as a rookie.
Right. I mean, that's the first step, right? And now now as that creates some buzz, now you have doctors and sports psychiatrists, we have to create this platform of disarming ourselves in order to be better for ourselves. And that's, you know, a lot of guys are weird about seeing a psychiatrist. Hell, like that, I wish I would have seen one years ago. You know, so I think the culture is slowly changing in terms of how barbaric it used to be and how it is now with social media and everything like that. You can't, the NFL has to respect, you know, with the social change that's going on and all these other different platforms these players have. But
Quill, how many times would you deliver a hit in a game or get hit in the game where you knew you should come out for a second, but you didn't, you know, because that, that was nothing that you guys did at that point, right?
Right.
I mean, now they've got spotters and they've, I know it's a little different now, but I used to watch you guys all the time and I'm surprised you guys aren't hurt on every play. Every single play.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I just wonder how many times you're out there and for a play or two, if not more, you don't really remember what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, that, I mean, I can't even count how many times that's happened, you know, until probably my fifth or sixth year, you see a shift in the NFL of how they address things. You mentioned the spotters and there's this emphasis and push on player safety all of a sudden. Why? You know, because the lawsuits were creeping up, so they have to protect themselves. And I remember an instance I was in, this is when I knew the league had changed. I was playing in Indy, and I think we were playing the Giants. And I read a play, a backside puller was pulling, and I met him in the hole. I saw it coming. All I remember is taking a step, and then when I saw the film later, I got hit in the temple, and I blacked out, right? And I got up, and me being the person that I am, you know, you come to and all these people are looking at you and they're asking you all these questions. Now I'm getting pissed at them because they think they know something. I've been blacked out, but in my mind, I'm like, I'm not coming out, like blah, blah, blah. You know, they ask me all these questions. What's your name? Who do you play for? You know, and at that moment, I heard some players, a guy named Darius Butler, when it happened, they were screaming, come, come, come. I remember that vividly. And there was another instance where I got my bell rung and same guy, he approached me. He's like, hey man, you got one more snap and I'm letting the right people know, you know, you're not right. I'm like, nah, man, I need this. I need this, man. My money's tied up in is incentive based. You know, I was like, man, I need this, man. It's a conflict. It's a conflict of interest. And you know, there's some things I've done to my body when I was much younger, trying to figure out, you know, how to survive. And when my contract was literally, I made money based on if I would play on Sunday.
If you're available.
I give you a quick story. So I had never had shin splints. This was early in my career. I never had shin splints before in my life. I used to think people who got shin splints were just overreacting. Until I wake up one Sunday morning and my shins are on fire. I'm like, what in the hell is this? So I knew a nurse. I call a nurse. He's like, hey, I was like, I need some Toradol. I need some Toradol pills and I need some Percocet. And she got me both. And when I tell you the worst, like those are one of those moments in my career where I look back, I'm like, man, you were like, that was the dumbest thing I could have done. But during that time, it made the most sense. I mean, I had taken 3 or 4 Percocet. You know, I had, you know, Toradol. You know, Toradol, you don't feel anything.
Hey. Me and I won't say the name, but a teammate of mine late in our career, for the last 2 years, our doc would give us Toradol at home before the games, but they wouldn't trust, you know, we couldn't do it on the road. So we would pack 2 syringes of Toradol and he and I would give each other Toradol shots before the game.
Same. That was my life. That was my life. I did it for many years, man, just to survive.
You know, talk about for a minute the self-experiments and things you're doing, you know, why you're doing them and what do you hope comes out of them?
Yeah, man. So, you know, one of the ways I'm trying to help myself and help other people that are transitioning, some of my buddies particularly, is to start the podcast, The Athletes Unplugged. You know, I realize if we can have these conversations with each other and we can compare similar stories, you and I, it's therapeutic. And you feel like you're wanted. You feel like you're a part of something. I've never been afraid to, even when I was playing Rex, I knew I was on my way out, sort of, because the things that I was, you know, for instance, I haven't really talked about this openly, but there's this undercurrent of veteran players in the National Football League who advise some of these younger guys if they're injured, right? Like, I had a rocky, you know, experience with team doctors. So I've always taken a stance of, if you're diagnosed with something, go get a second opinion. They'll pay for it. They'll fly you out. Go get a second opinion.
Yeah.
And now, I haven't been in the locker room in 5 years, but I'm quite sure this element of that culture still exists, where they look down on you. You know, as a veteran, coaching these guys of how to take care of their bodies and how to be an independent contractor. You know, and I was a huge component of that the older I got, because I had saved my money, I had done the right things, and if you were going to kick me out based on that, then I was okay. But I didn't want, my fear was, I didn't want this young person to ever, for us to ever cross paths years later and to, and be mad or resent me for not telling him how to manage this business. So I would have these conversations with coaches. You know, I've been put in situations where, hey, a guy has a baby. You know, hey, you're the leader. Hey, can you use training camp? Hey, you know, we really want him to stay. I'm like, what the hell you want me to tell him? If you want, what I'm going to tell him, you better go see your baby, because you got to live with your baby's mother for the rest of your life. You know, I'm not doing that. You know, it's like, what are we doing here?
I'm going to be the bad guy for you.
Right. That's not happening. It's not happening. And so, you know, I became a little, not rebellious, but I realized, like, man, this, it's not all about the game. I love it. Unequivocally love it. Love everything about it. But, you know, I'm not going to lose myself in it.
No, and that, and it's powerful that, to share. I mean, there are plenty of things that I saw go on in the locker room that, you know, couldn't fly today that right. I didn't say shit about.
Right.
You know, and that I look back like, man, you know, and you have regrets about that. You know, you're older. Then I guess that's just maturity. What do you think about the game of football now, DeQuil? What advice would you give parents or young people playing the game today?
Yeah, I think it's a great tool for young people. Young people playing it, I think it's a great tool to teach them about how to keep pushing forward and push through fears, push through failure, right? I think it's a great tool for that. However, I would suggest any parent that wants to put their kid into a contact sport like football, listen, I played 11 years and I'm indifferent. If my son wants to play, I can't stop him. But I would wait until his later years to throw him into that contact sport. And I think it's a great game. And honestly, I don't want him playing football. I really don't. I know the ugly side of it and the pressure that mounts on it. And if you're not built for it, you're not going to last. It could tear you down. And I'm not trying to, you know, make it seem like feel sorry for professional athletes. Listen, they make a lot of money doing what they love, but it's an exorbitant amount of sacrifice that goes into it, that everyone pays the price. And when you're done playing, you know, we talked about a lot of those different things. But what I would tell people, do your homework. Do your homework. Understand the level of stress and the level of danger you're putting your kid through. And you assess it there, because for me, I don't want my son playing. Honestly, I love the game of football, but I don't want my son playing football. I just don't. I've been through so many dark days, and I don't feel comfortable with that right now.
I'm proud that you're able to voice this, because think about it. You guys are the first generation to have this information,
right?
I mean, essentially, you're the first generation to have this information as young people, right?
Yes.
Are there any causes, any organizations you want to bring attention to, DeQuil?
You know, not at this moment, but can I bring some attention to my podcast as well?
Absolutely.
Listen, I'm trying to create a platform like you and I to talk about everything underneath the sun. You know, it's called Athletes Unplugged. There's three things that most people that know me know I enjoy doing. I like smoking a cigar. I like some red wine, and I love my whiskey. And I try to create that platform, that space. Is I feel like I've had some of the most meaningful conversations at my house by the fire pit when those three things were involved. Obviously under control, but
yep.
But it's therapeutic. I want people to just experience it, and we have fun. We have laughs. We talk about real stuff, similar to what you're doing. And I'm bringing all my friends on the ride with me.
Man, that's great. I can't wait to check it out. You let me know. I'll come on anytime you want. Thanks. I can't thank you enough, DeQuil, for being on the show, sharing your story with all of us. you know we're rooting for you and your health. And if there's ever anything I can do, my door is always open. Thanks, my guy.
Rex, I really appreciate it, man. I get to talk to an NBA star, man. That's great, man. So I would love to have you on the podcast. We could talk more about anything you want to talk about. And I'm here for you. Anything you need from me, I'm here for you, brother.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
it. You got it. Charges, sharing our run-ins with the law. Charges, athletes, entertainers, and brawlers. Charges, every celebrity ain't flawless. Charges, we came a long way from living lawless. Charges, sharing our run-ins with the law. Charges, athletes, entertainers, and brawlers. Charges, every celebrity ain't flawless. Charges, we came a long way from living lawless. Charges.
Charges is created by Portal A and Control Media. It's produced by DB Podcasts in association with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. Health Aid kombucha.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.